All right, everybody, welcome to Tuesday class, Parashas Toldos. Ladies, come on, please. Welcome to Tuesday class, Parashas Toldos. We'll say Lilui Nishmas, even though I don't think they need an aliyah for their neshamos. But anyway, I don't know the full names. Rabbi Avram Shmuel Goldberg, Rabbi Kalman Zev Levine, Rabbi Aryeh Kupinski, and Rabbi Moshe Twersky. May Hashem avenge their blood speedily and in our days. One of the most difficult moments for me, if you could say there were more difficult and less difficult moments in my week in Poland during the camps, was when we went to Auschwitz-Birkenau, and many of the barracks have become museums, and behind one glass case there were piles of talisim and tefillin. And I remember I fell like down to the floor, and I thought, if a person goes on their last journey, what did they take with them? They were told you could pack, you know, small items, and this is what they took. It was very difficult for me. Very difficult. But the Yonasan Eibishitz explains, what does it mean that Mordechai was an Ish Yehudi? Mordechai HaYehudi, time of Esther. And Haman Achashverosh Yimach Shemam. Rav Yonasan Eibishitz explains there were many. What does it mean, Ish Yehudi? Everyone knew he was a Yehudi. There were many Jews in Shushan, and although they may have practiced their Judaism in private, they were not willing to reveal their identities in public. Mordechai HaYehudi was the exception, says Rav Yonasan Eibishitz. He would walk through the streets of Shushan dressed in traditional Jewish garb, specifically wearing his tzitzis and his tefillin, and he would encourage others to publicly display their yahadus as well. So when Mordechai, Hashem provided the Jewish people two symbols of our connection to him, tzitzis and tefillin. Tefillin symbolizes there is only one God, and tzitzis serves to remind us of all the mitzvos. Chazal have said about tefillin shel rosh, Chazal in the Gemara, Maseches Brachos. The Pasuk says in Devarim 28:10, then all the people of the earth will see Hashem is proclaimed over you. And Chazal say, when all the people of the earth see Hashem is proclaimed over you, that is tefillin shel rosh. Rav Moshe Twersky, the Rosh Kola from Taurus Moshe, was a grandson of Rav Salvechik, who we often quote in our class. His mother, Rebbetzin Twersky, is still alive in Boston. Rav Salvechik wrote, this is from the Sefer, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways." Rav Salvechik wrote, this happened during the Holocaust. Rav Salvechik, who is now in Shemayim with his grandson, who is the Rosh Kolel of Taurus Moshe in Poland, who was the brother of Rav Meir Twersky, my brother's rabbi from YU. Incidents occurred during the Holocaust that are identical with incidents occurred during the Holocaust that are identical with acts in the Kinos. These acts did not only happen 1900 years ago, they happen now in our time. This happened to a first cousin of mine. This is Rav Salvechik writing about his first cousin. His name was Yeshaya. His mother, Yeshaya's mother, was a daughter of Rav Chaim Brisk. This is the Rav's first cousin. He only had one daughter. Rav Chaim Brisk had one daughter. This daughter had a son named Yeshaya. Rav Chaim's son-in-law was Rav Hirsch Glickson, an Adam Gadol, a great man. His son was a little younger than I. I knew him very well. He was not only a tzaddik, but a gaon olam. When the Nazis conquered Warsaw, they found him and his wife during the first week after their wedding. They tied his wife down to one car. They tied him down to another car. They drove off at the speed of 70 miles per hour. And of course, Rav Salvechik writes that about his first cousin. Oh, this is very difficult now. His grandson was to think Jews, they were in the middle of the Sinai Amida. I'm going to go on with Parsha. Even though I wanted to say one more thing, I'm not going to. We're going to go on with Parsha.
All right, let's learn.
My husband woke me up by giving me his phone. I always know that's a very bad sign when he puts it in my face in the morning. Let's go on. Okay. I told this insight over last year Parashas Tol, those Eidechtem Einotz 5774, but it is prudent to remind ourselves of this important insight as we continue our journey through the book of Bereishis. Rabbi Kalish, Alav HaShalom, told me the following insight last year at the Nautilus. The names of the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, together, I'm not writing it out, okay, I counted, have 13 letters. The names Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov have 13 letters. The names of the Imahos, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah also have 13 letters. The gematria of 13 is Echad, Aleph, Ches, Dalet, to show that our patriarchs and matriarchs lived by the word of Hashem. Everything they did was in the name of Echad, Shema Yisrael, Shema Ken Hashem, Echad. 13 times 2. 13 letters of Avos, 13 letters of the Imahus, times 2 equals 26, which is the gematria of Yod Kei Vav Kei, Hashem's name. They lived a life dedicated to Midas HaRachmi, Makadosh Baruch Hu. Important to keep this insight. His mind touches upon what we discussed last week, especially as we have questions on the Avos and the Imahos as we journey through. They hated Leah, their brothers were jealous of him, things that we could question. How could Rivka instruct her son to trick Titein Emes LeYaakov? How could Yaakov trick his aging father? Very important to keep in mind as we journey through that they lived for Achad and everything they did was dedicated to Hashem, Yod Kei Vav Kei. I do want to say one more thing that I want to say that I forgot. The slaughter this morning, Al-Kiddush Hashem, reminds me of Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara says his soul went out at the word Echad. As he said the word Echad, his soul went out. All right, Parasha summary. Rivka conceives after childlessness as Hashem listens to Yaakov's tefillos. Pregnancy is difficult. Rivka seeks counsel. She is told two nations will emerge from within her. The older will serve the younger. Esav is born first, Yaakov next, holding on to Esav's heel. Esav grows up to be a hunter. Yaakov is quiet. Rivka loves Yaakov. Yitzchak loves Esav. We spoke about that in past years. After a day of hunting, Esav sells his birthright to Yaakov for a bowl of soup. Some of you may have my parashas told us soup recipe. If you do not have it, it's going to be my recipe of the week on the website that I make every year for parashas told us. And it's very, very good. Did everyone hear what Sharon Friedman said? It's very good. Okay? And when you tell it, you know, make sure you tell while you're serving that soup. Hakavod Shabbos Kodesh. Famine in the land. Yitzchak and his family travel to the territory of Pelishtim. Hashem commands him not to leave Canaan. Yitzchak becomes wealthy. Avimelech exiles him from his territory. Yitzchak uncovers his father's wells. He digs new wells. There is conflict and friction with the Pelishtim. Yitzchak travels to Be'er Sheva. Hashem blesses him. As Yitzchak is aging and blind, he is famously tricked by his wife and his son. And instead of blessing Esau, who he was planning to bless, he blesses Yaakov. Esav is furious. Yaakov runs to Padan Aram, his mother's homeland, to save himself and find a wife. I strongly encourage you to taste the cinnamon bun blondies. It's a new recipe. It will in future weeks be on the site. They are whole wheat, oil instead of margarine. I cut the sugar from the original recipe, and I also cut the chocolate chips.
So good. All right. I like you.
Throwing me off. I need muffins.
You don't like the
delicious. But where's the muffins, really?
I know, but I thought we needed a change, all right, ladies? We needed a change. All right. You know, when I prepare my class, I always say, I don't know where it's going to go. This class was prepared, obviously, before this morning's brutal attacks. It is very relevant for what happened today in Eretz Yisrael. Why does the Torah tell us, and don't open up yet, I'm just telling you that it's in chapter 14 of the book of Bereishis, the Torah tells us about the war of the four kings and the five kings. And this year, it struck me that this is very strange. Because let's be honest, who cares? What can we possibly learn from the accounting of an ancient war, well, between kings and kingdoms that are long gone and long forgotten? What's the point? If it's in there, there's a point. What's the point? To answer, we have to recall the words of the Ramban, Nachmanides, Kol Masha Irela Avos Siman Labanim. What happened to our forefathers is a foreshadowing, if you will, for their descendants. Sefer Bereishis is known as Sefer HaYetzira. It is not only the creation of the world, but it is also the creation of Klal Yisrael. The whole world at that time, these were the four great kingdoms or five kingdoms. It was what? It was a world war, if you will. It was a significant world war. It was a foreshadowing for future generations. It almost had to be included because it would happen. What happened to them will happen to us. Everything that happens to us happened to them. Perhaps you can call it even the First World War. And therefore, it's in the Torah to teach us. It happens to them, it's going to happen. As for Avraham Avinu's involvement, I wrote here, well, aren't Jews always involved in some way or another during times of war and international crises? And therefore, the Torah, including an account of this First World War, because their fate is our fate. In war, there are losses. In war, there are captives. Ron Arad has never, I'm just using one example out of many. Ron Arad has never been, there was an infant baby when he was taken. He has never been returned. He has not been heard from. Lot was taken captive. Vayavo Hapali, the fugitive, came and he told Avram, your relative, your nephew was taken what? He's a prisoner of war. There's a prisoner of war. We are prisoners of wars. There are always those who arm themselves to free their captured brethren. Avram Avinu Vayarak Aschanichav. He roused himself and he went to what?
To save his nephew, to save his brother.
He says to Allah, Achim Anachnu, we are brothers. There's the Jew who has to rouse himself to go save those who are captive. And in war, there are also those who, I'm giving you a foreshadowing of what we're going to be speaking about, there are also those who must send their children away. Keeping all that in mind, I am deeply indebted to my father-in-law for the following piercing insight. I should have put out Devarim. Moshe Rabbeinu forewarns Klal Yisrael of the punishments that will befall the people should they stray from the path of Torah. I want you to see the verse inside. If you have Chamishei Chumshei Torah, turn to Devarim 28:32. If you have Chamishei Chumshei Torah, Devarim 28:32. Can someone just come here, please, and help me? If you don't mind, please. Devarim 28:32. I'm going to share with you. Even though I have it in my notes, let's look at it inside. 28:32. Okay, I am deeply indebted, I wrote to my father-in-law, for the following piercing insight. Devarim, 28, chapter 28, Chaf Ches, verse Lamed Beis, 32. Ladies, do we have it? Okay. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Banecha uvinosecha, your sons and your daughters, nisunim la'am acher, are given over to another nation. Ve'einecha ra'os, your eyes see this, v'chalos aleim, they pine for them. Kol hayom, all day you yearn for these children, ve'ein l'kel yadecha, ba'wa, your hand is powerless. Your sons and daughters will be given over to another nation, your eyes see and pine for them. But what? There's nothing you can do. And then turn to 41. Wait, before you turn to 41, while you turn to 41, how would you understand this pasuk that we just saw? The one we just saw. How would you understand this? What's the kalaya?
Based on what you were just telling us before, that it's talking about they go to war and they get captured.
Okay, very nice. So when you read this pasuk, that's really what we understand. But then my father-in-law said to me, look at verse 41. Banim ubano, same chapter, like three psukim later, not four, nine. Banim ubanos tolid, you will give birth to sons and daughters. Velo yihiu lach, they will not be yours. Ki yelchu bashavi, for they will go into captivity. So going into captivity represents lot, for right? Someone being taken prisoner of war. Ron Arad went into captivity. Soko, what was his name? From Florida, who was beheaded by ISIS, who was held for your name. Joel Sotloff, Hashem Yikom Dama. Going into captivity. So my father said, then what's the first verse teaching us? Do you understand? Because the Torah is not redundant, and every pasuk comes to teach us something. If the second verse is telling us you will have sons and daughters who will be born to you, and they won't be yours because they will go into captivity, then what is verse 32 teaching us? Your sons and daughters will be given to another nation. Your eyes will see and pine for them all day, but there's nothing you could do. Your hand is helpless. So my father pointed out, Nisunim la'am achar means, Nisunim means given over, not captured. Yalchu bashavi means they are taken captive. Nisunim means what? You hand them over. And who will give them over? Moreover, he says, the verse says, La'am echar, to another nation. It does not say to the enemy. It says, your children will be given over to another nation. So my father said, perhaps we can explain that the... Yeah, go ahead.
And so the culture that you're in, so the nation that you live in, so the culture, so the...
So my father-in-law explained, perhaps... Okay, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Okay, very nice that the children fall prey to the culture and the times and the society in which you live. Very nice. Okay. It's not very nice, but your insight's very nice. Perhaps we can explain that these are children, said my father, like given over to a friendly nation by their parents to save them. This too is a curse that the parent has to... Look, ladies, look. Your sons and daughters are being given over to another nation. Your eyes see it so painful all day, but there's nothing you can do. My father said, can we imagine the heartbreak, quote from his email, of giving over our child to a kinder transport or to the church or to farm peasants in order to save your child and never see them again. As the pasuk continues, you will see them and long for them, but your hand is powerless. My father emailed this while he was reading the book. I meant it to him. How did they feel standing on the platform seeing their children leave on trains to safety? And the parents could not even wave goodbye. It says it in the book that Sharon and I just read, 50 children, because the Nazis, Yimach Shumam, would arrest them. A Jew in those days could not even stretch out his hand to wave goodbye to his child because he would appear to be saying, Siegel. And now we come to our parsha. My father-in-law noted, who was the first to send away... Wait, does everyone understand how we're interpreting this verse in Devarim? Okay. And why it's different than verse 41? Verse 41 says straight out, they'll go into captivity. So nisunim la'am achar doesn't mean they're taken prisoner, where somebody's giving them over to another nation. And it's so prophetic. Your eyes see and pine for them, but your hand is what? Your hand is powerless. And now we come to... You could close Devarim. And now we come to our parsha. My father-in-law noted, who was the first, it's fantastic, who was the first to send away their child because of an enemy for the child's own benefit? We're starting at the end of our parsha. Yitzchak and Rivka. Esther, you're going to see, the puzzle's going to come together so beautifully. While that ever happened to our forefathers is a foreshadowing for future generations, so is the principle. Rashi quotes, it is known, Yadua Sha Esav Sona Yaakov, literally, Esav hated his brother Yaakov, in our parasha, and prophetically, we have to remember, everything in Sefer Bereishis is an echoing to future generations, prophetically, Esav's descendants despised Yaakov. Let's look in the verses together. I told you we're starting at the end and never going to go back. 27... Excuse me. Chaf Zayin 41, 27, Mem Aleph. 27, 41, Chaf Zayin, Mem Aleph. So fantastic. It's such a fantastic insight. Okay, I'm in Toldos now. 27, 41. In art school, it's page 301. 301. And at the end, Rachel 301. Vayistom, the last verse on the page, 27:41. Vayistom Esav es Yaakov, and Esav hated Yaakov, al habracha asher bercho aviv, because of the blessing that his father blessed him. Okay, is everyone with me? Does everyone know what happened? There was an aging father, Yitzchak, and he had these twin sons, Yaakov and Esav, and Yitzchak preferred or loved Esav, and Rachel... And Rivka loved Yaakov, and she convinces her son, let me just say the back of the two sentences, to dress up and trick his father, put on Esav's hunting clothing, and come to father, and he will bless you. And that's exactly what happens. Rivka prepares food, Yaakov brings in the food. Yitzchak says, Ayidai midei hakol kol Yaakov. Think of this morning's attack. Hakol kol Yaakov. What's our koach? What's kol Yaakov? Tfila, hayidayim. Yedei Esav, and he blesses Yaakov first. Esav comes back from hunting, and he says, what happened? Don't you have a blessing left for me? And Esav is furious, and this is where we open up. Esav hated Yaakov for the bracha that his father blessed him. Vayomer Esav Belivo, Esav says to himself, Yikru Yimei Eva Avi, my father's days for death will come close. He's going to die soon. The Aharga Es Yaakov Achi. You know what he's going to do? What does he want to do? Wants to kill Yaakov, his brother. Vayukad the Rivka as Divrei Esav bin Ahagada. It was told to Rivka, says Rashi, through Ruach HaKodesh, what Esav wanted to do. Vatishlach, she sends Vatikra li Yaakov bin Ahakatan. Even so piercing, Sharon, having read 50 children, bin Ahakatan. Sometimes you have to send away, even though he wasn't literally a small boy, but here the Torah tells you that when a parent has to send away their child, it's bin Ahakatan. It's always her small son. Vatomer Elav, and she says to him, Hine Esav achicha misnachim lecha lahargacha. You know what Esau wants to do too? He wants to kill you. Who is with me when we learned about the root word Nachem? We had a beautiful Bereishis and Noach Parsha together. We learned about Nachem. Here you see it. Misnachem lechala hargecha. He changed his mind. He wants to do something else. He has plans for the future. Doesn't mean he's comforted over killing you. Rashi says he's comforted by the thought of killing you. Or he changes his mind. He wants to kill you now. Va'ata bini. Look at these words. Shema b'koli. Now my son, listen to my voice. V'kum, get up. Berach lecha lavan achi charana. You have to run away to my brother Lavan to Charan. V'yishavta imo. You will sit there for a few days. Till your brother's wrath has calmed down. Till your brother's not angry anymore from upon you. He will forget what happened. Vishalachti. I will send for you. How many parents went to the churches after the war and they knocked on the door? Vishalachti. And they said, you have my child. I will take you from there. Run away, I'll take you from there. Nisunim la'am echer. Lama eshkal gam shnechem b'yam echad. Why should I lose both of you on the same day? Okay. How prophetic. When we look at it with this understanding based on Devarim, how prophetic, please. There are always wars, the four kings versus the five kings. The Jews are always involved. I wrote Steve Sotlov, Hashem Yikom Damo. I wrote to name one out of millions. We see that by Lot being taken captive. Lot was Avram Avinu's nephew. There are always those who arm themselves to free their captured brethren. Vayishma Avram kinishba achiv. Avram heard his brother, meaning Lot was taken captive. Vayarakas chanichav. He arms his soldiers with him, those in his house, from the Lashon of Chinuch. He arms those that he taught. Yelidei Beso, born to his house. 318. Vayirdof Adon. Avram Avinu has to run after you. Now, when you look at the war of the four kings versus five kings in this light, it makes so much sense. But if you don't look at it like what's it trying to teach us, it makes no sense that it's in there. But Avram Avinu goes to war. There are always those who have to what? Who have to rise to the task of attempting to free their persecuted brethren, Gil and Eleanor Krauss, who rescued 50 children. I spoke about them from Nazi Germany and certain death in the spring of 1939. And so we have said there are always wars, right? That was the war of the four kings versus the five kings. Jews are always involved. Avram Avinu's brother, the Torah calls him Lo, who is really his nephew. I don't have to give so many examples to know that Jews are always involved. There are always those who arm themselves, who are brave enough. I wish I remembered his name. What was the name of the soldier who ran into the tunnel after Hadar Golden? It was such bravery, and he knew he could be killed. There always was Vayarek as Chanicha, Vayishma Avram Kinishba Achiv. Avram, a Jew, hears that his brother is taken captive. Vayarek as Chanicha, he arms himself, he arms his men. Vayirdov, he runs after him, he ran into the tunnel. I wish I could remember his name. He went to be Menachem of the family, sat with him for 50 minutes. Based on his testimony, they were able to declare Hadar Golden deceased instead of missing in action and have a Havaya, which means he found something in the tunnel. We go to war for our brothers. There are also those who must send their children away, as we're seeing based on Devarim and our Parsha. And Gil and Eleanor Krauss in this book that I read. Are you reading it yet?
I read it.
You finished it. 50 children. They went to Nazi Germany in the spring of 39 to rescue 50 Jewish children. That's what Avram Avinu did. That's what the soldier did when Shmuel Golden was Hadar Golden was taken captive. It is compelling. I want to point out something else. Is everyone with me? See, we're tying in a lot of different sources. It is compelling to note who instructs Yaakov to run away. Rivka. Because if you look at verse chapter Chavches, what is wrong with me? Look at Parah Chavches, chapter 28. After Rivka instructs him, Yitzchak, Vayikra, Yitzchak, Al Yaakov, Yitzchak calls Yaakov, and he blesses him, and he commands him, and he says, okay, don't take a wife from the daughters of Canaan, get up to Padan Aram, to the house of Besual, your uncle, and okay, and Hashem should bless you, okay. Pasuk Hey, is everyone with me? 28:5, Chavches Hey. Vayishlach Yitzchak as Yaakov, Yitzchak sent Yaakov, and he went to Padan Aram, to Lavan ben Besual, Arami, okay. Who first gives the instructions that he has to run away?
Rivka.
Rivka. after she instructs him, Yitzchak offers her advice. Eshes chayil miyimtza v'rachak mipnidim mikra. Woman of valor who can find far beyond pearls is her value. Ta'ama kitov sachwa. She knows that her merchandise is good. Lo yichba balayla neira. Her candle does not go out at night. Night in Jewish times. I know I've said this a couple of places before. It's okay. Night in Jewish thought is a metaphor for difficult and trying times. What does it mean that the woman's candle does not go out at night? Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal says, the truth is when you look through Tanakh, you have the Avos, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, and you have the Imahos, Sarah Rivka Rachalea, you have Moshe and you have Miriam. What role did they each play? And the Rav says there were times when everything is quiet, when there are no special difficulties. And then there are turbulent times, times when the nation has to make a decision in critical moments. In the blink of the eye, you have to figure out what to do. When everything was peaceful and quiet time, says the Rav, the Avos led. They did everything. The Imahos stood quietly on the side as the helper opposite them. But in critical moments in Jewish history, when there are ups and downs, there are very bad times and there are good times, there's churban and binyan, destruction and rebuilding. In critical moments, he says, it is the woman. It was the Imahos, it was the woman who stepped to the forefront. Lo yichba balayla neira. Her candle doesn't go out at night. He says, it's unbelievable. I'm telling you, I prepared this before. Of Soloveitchik, his grandson was murdered today. It bothers me, by the way, just be careful. It bothers me when people say, I'm not saying you do it, and if you do it, I know it's for your sake. It bothers me when people say, four people died. Like I saw someone wrote it today, four people did not die in Eretz Yisrael. We should just say that four people were murdered al Kiddush Hashem today in Eretz Yisrael. In Jewish history, where am I? A Jew knows if you can get through the night, if you have the fortitude to outlive the darkness, soon there will be light. Afterwards, it's not hard, but the trick is to survive the trying times. We say, Ani Mamim Bevias HaMashiach. He said, there were times when the coming of Mashiach seemed long off. Today, I think it's near. He wrote that in 1977. This was the woman's quality which uplifted the men also. At critical moments, the woman lights up the darkness. He says, there's no such thing as the sun always shines. Look at the moon, it keeps getting smaller, but then it what? It's bigger again. We have the power to overcome. Quote, when it looks like everything is falling apart, the woman had the strength to step in and save everything. I'll just tell you in two sentences, we see it throughout Tanakh. It was Sarah who knew that she had to send away Hagar and Yishmael because it was a spiritual and physical threat. It was Rivka who knew in our parsha that Yaakov had to steal the blessings, even though it looks like, how could it be? It's not emistic. It is Rachel who knew to be mevater her position to allow Leah in critical moments to birth those six illustrious shvatim who stood from afar ladas maya sebo vata'amod achosa merachok. Where was Aaron? He was older than Moshe. Where was the older brother? Who stood from afar to know what happened to the baby? Miriam. Who didn't sin b'cheirega? Not one. Not one woman. Who didn't slander the land? Kliyakar 13:2, the Kliyakar says, Shlach Lecha Anashim, says the Kliyakar on Bamidbar 13:2, Hashem was saying, why Shlach Lecha Anashim? The Kliyakar says, Hashem was saying, Moshe Ladati, according to my advice, says Hashem, Yoter Tov Lishloach Nashim. You should really send, woman, look it up, Bamidbar 13:2, Kliyakar, because the women love the land. Who saved the Jews of Shusha? What did Mordechai Yehudi say? Mi odei m'eis kazos, he got the malchus.
Mitzrayim.
The women, the mothers today in Eretz Yisrael.
The Mitzrayim, the women in Mitzrayim.
Very nice. Nashim Tekanios, but also Adar Negala Yisrael in Mitzrayim. They did not give up. They seduced Shmos 38:8 with Rashi. They seduced their husbands under the apple tree, and they birthed the next generation of Kali. So the women today in Eretz Yisrael, Sherry Mandel, Frimit Roth, Malki was killed in the Sabaro terror attack. Sherry Mandel, whose son Kobe was murdered. Rachel Frankel, who gives interviews of Stoicism and Grace. Miriam Peretz, who I heard. Soloveitchik says, when it looks like everything is falling apart, the woman had the strength to step in and save everything. I am also most indebted to my friend Sharon Friedman. I'm also most indebted to my friend Sharon Friedman for suggesting I read the book 50 Women, an ordinary couple's extraordinary rescue children, mission into the heart children. Of Nazi Germany.
Right. 50 children.
That's what the book's called.
Right. 50 Women?
50 children.
50 children.
Okay. The Pasuk says, look at the Pasuk. Ladies, we're talking about the koch of women. We're tying in Sefer Devarim and my father's insight about us having to send away our children. Rachmana Latzlan. Shema, Pasuk Mem Gimel. We're going to talk about this pasuk a little. Va'ata b'ni, and now my son. Remember we said Rivka is the first one to instruct her son. Shema b'koli, listen to my voice, not our voice, not by your father, saying Shema b'koli. I'm quoting you an excerpt from 50 Children, ladies. Eleanor, she was the woman, the Jewish woman from Philadelphia who went to, if you did not read the book, do yourself a favor, who went to Nazi Germany in the spring of 39. Eleanor found it difficult, Shema Bakoli, listen to my voice. In the difficult times, the woman stepped to the forefront and take over. We gave many examples from Tanakh already. Eleanor found it difficult to keep her composure as she sat at her desk. I'm going to quote it. Watching the heartbreaking parade of parents who did not hesitate to formally turn their children over to a group of strangers from around the world. What was the pasuk from Devarim? Banecha uvinosecha nisunim la'am echer ve'einecha ra'os ve'kalos aleihem kol hayam. Your sons and daughters, the Torah is so prophetic. It's unbelievable. Your sons and daughters are given over to another nation. Your eyes see and they pine for them. She watched the heartbreaking parade of parents who did not hesitate to formally turn their children over to a group of strangers from around the world. She saw on their faces a mixture of relief, sadness, hope, and fear. But Eleanor, are you listening? Noticed the demeanor between the men and the wives. They were men from all walks of life, doctors, lawyers, salesmen, merchants, and shop workers. Regardless of their station in life, or rather the position they occupied before they were stripped of their livelihood, they now appeared utterly defeated as fathers, as husbands, as human beings. Quote, she wrote in her diary, they looked so lifeless. She's speaking about the men. So hopeless, so forlorn. Did I say that right? Forlorn? Only one thing seemed to be left to these men, and that was pride in their children. Quote, many of the mothers, on the other hand, seemed so animated. They smiled and they chatted. Their cheeks were flushed. Their eyes were dancing. They were useful human beings because they were protecting their children. The Torah is so prophetic.
They were giving them over to her, she said?
Gail and Eleanor Krauss was this Jewish couple from Philadelphia who went to rescue these 50 children. Yes. Okay. So you see the verse says, Shema b'koli. Who's koli? Who's talking? Rivka. Who's Rivka? The mother. Who steps to the forefront in times of crisis? The Jewish woman. We've seen so many examples from Tanakh. Banech v'nosech nisunim la'am acher. They're given to nisunim. It doesn't mean they're captured. You're giving them over. Your eyes see and pine and your hand is helpless. And then what does Rivka say? V'ata b'nishama b'koli. We just talked about that. V'kum, get up. Birach lecha alavan achi charana. Run for yourself. What should come to mind here? Birach lecha.
Save yourself.
For yourself.
Save yourself.
So what other words should come to mind? It doesn't need to say lecha. Think of another time he uses that word when it doesn't need to say it. Lach. Go for yourself. What does it mean go for yourself? That's why Rashi goes and gives an explanation of go for yourself. It could just say, go from your father's home, your birthplace, your father's house, your land. Here it could just say, is everyone with me? Shema b'koli. V'kum, get up. Birach alavan achi charana. Run to my brother, love and tacharan. Do you see that? Yes or no?
Yes.
Why didn't he say l'cha? Rashi says, on lech lecha, journey for yourself, for your own benefit, and for your own good. L'tovascha, l'hanascha. To journey forth is a great test. Lech lecha is a test. But it can be difficult and still be for your own good. And that's what we see here, of course, with Yaakov. Barach lecha. This is going to be for your benefit and for your good, because if you stay here, he's going to kill you. So yes, it's lecha. Run for yourself. It can be difficult. It is difficult. It's a test, and it's for yourself. I just want to say that also the four Kedoshim murdered all went on the journey of Lech Lecha. Not one was, they were three American Israeli citizens and one British or English, however you say it. Lech Lecha, the journey of the Jew. L'tovascha l'hanascha. Barach Lecha, she says. We've already spoken about Shema B'koli. I was in tears by that time, remembered Henny Wenkart. It seemed as if the train was never going to leave. We were all inside looking out the window and waving to our parents. I could still see my father's hat. He was standing on his tiptoes in order to see me. Said Robert Braun, I remember the smell of the locomotive so vividly. All 50 children were in one car. We were told the doors would be locked until we got off in Berlin. On the platform before getting on the train, there was a great deal of crying and wailing. But my sister Johanna and I did not cry because our parents maintained a very cheerful attitude. They told us about the wonderful life we would have in America. Brach. Berach lecha, it's going to be better for you there. We didn't cry because our parents told us about the wonderful life we would have in America. Get up and go for yourself. Finally, everything's okay. Finally, the train sounded a piercing whistle as it edged its way out of the station. Eleanor, she was on the train with the children, surrounded by the children, peered out of the window as the train platform gradually receded from view. Quote, she wrote in her diary, the parents stood in a completely orderly and quiet fashion. Their eyes were fixed on the faces of their children. She didn't write that. Their mouths were smiling. Their eyes were red and strained. No one waved. It was the most heartbreaking show of dignity and bravery I had ever witnessed. Okay? Look back at the pasuk. Va'ata b'ni Shema b'koli. We have already explained what Shema b'koli means. Listen to my voice. I'm Rivka. I'm your mother. We have seen what Eleanor Krauss wrote about the woman who came to the office, whereas the father were broken and forlorn and lifeless and hopeless. The mother smiled and shouted Shema b'koli. Rashi says to the Ruach HaKodesh that was in the Jewish mother. Specifically in Rivka. Berach lecha, we have just explained what does it mean to run for yourself. And that Robert Braun and his sister Johanna did not cry because their mother said it's going to be better for you there. Alavan achi, stay there a few days. Pasuk mem hey, vishalachti, you should know I will send for you. What did the parents say when they gave their children up to the churches? They went back, they knocked on the church door, they said, you have our children. The church, Rahman al-San, said, we don't. I'm going to come back for you. At last, the children were allowed onto the train. Helga's mother and father gave her one last kiss goodbye. My mother said to me, be a good girl, listen to your foster parents, make sure you get a good education. Before you know it, will be there with you. And we'll all be reunited. And I will see you in America. Vishalachti. And I will send for you. Ulakachticha misham. We'll be reunited, said her mother. I'll see you in America. Quote, Helga had no way of knowing this was the last time that she would see her mother. In fact, she never saw her again. If I'm not mistaken, Yaakov did not see his mother again. Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
Right. Rachmana Litzlan, what happened to our forefathers is a foreshadowing for future generations. May we merit seeing the brachos Hashem promised our first forefather Avram to come to fruition speedily and in our days. And that was when he began his journey of lechecha, va'avarcha mivarechecha, those who bless you, I will bless, umakalalecha, or those who curse you, I will curse. The subhuman beings that walk the planet with us, may they be cursed. V'nivruchu b'chal komish b'chos ha'adama. May all the nations of the earth be blessed through us. Amen v'amen. You're not dismissed. We are finished, if you will, with that tremendous insight. And the Torah is unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. My father pointed out about the verses in Devarim, how it ties into our parasha and how you look through the verses and see how prophetic it is. It's just unbelievable. Before we go on, I want to now talk about when Yitzchak and Rivka daven for their child. We're going back to the beginning of the parasha. Does anyone have any questions or comments on what we just learned in the beginning of our class?
Amen.
Okay, ready? Turn back. Have a good day. It's much better than nothing. Judy, did you hear what I said? Amen. Judy told me she has to leave early.
Amen.
Okay. Turn back. I'm just going to make her CD so she doesn't miss that. Okay. 25:19. Could you pass those down? It's bothering me that they can't have the blinds. Oh, yeah. Ladies, they're baked in their parv. It's parv kalim and a parv oven. Please.
Right.
Very good.
25 what? 25 what?
19, page 272. Pass them, please. Please taste them. They're holy. And oil, not margarine, and I cut the sugar. Please taste them. It's glaze. It's a glaze. No, there's no margarine in oil. There's oil in the blondies. There's no oil in the topping. There's no margarine in the whole thing. Ve'ele todos Yitzchak ben Avram, and these are the offspring of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. Avram, holiness. Yitzchak, Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. Vayhi Yitzchak, and Yitzchak was. Ben Arbaim Shana, he was 40 years old. Bekachto es Rivka bas Besuaha, Rami mipadan Aram. We know this from Paishas Chayisara. After the whole long Shidduch, Yitzchak was 40 years old when he married Rivka, the daughter of Besua, the trickster, if you will, from Padan Aram. Achos Lavan, she was the sister of Lavan, Harami lo the Isha, to him for a wife. Rashi says, why is he giving you her lineage? Chapter 24 told me her lineage, because she was the daughter of a Rasha, the sister of a Rasha, the place was full of Rashaim, she was at Tzadikas. Pasuk Chaval, Vayet har Yitzchak la Hashem lenochach ishto ki akarahi. Yitzchak entreated, says Artsko. What does it mean, Vayetar? Rashi tells you. Hirba vehiftzir betefilah. He was hirba. He had a lot and he worked at it and he davened in tefilah. He was working at davening for her. Okay, I'll tell you Artsko translate that, Rashi. He importuned, I don't even know what that means. He importuned much through prayer. Hirba vehiftzir betefilah. It sounds better in Lashon HaKodesh. That's what it means. Vayetar Yitzchak Hashem, he davened. Nochach ishto, opposite his wife, because she was barren. Vayetar lo Hashem. Hashem allowed himself to be entreated by the tefilos of Yitzchak. Vatahar Rivka ishto. And she became pregnant. Yitzchak, at the birth of his twins, is 60 years old. He was 40 at the time of marriage. She was 3. 20 years of childlessness, says Rashi. 10 years till she was old enough even to potentially have the baby. And then 10 years before she actually had the twins. He was 60. She was 23. It's not so... It's a little unusual, but it's not impossible. It's not impossible. It's not impossible. She becomes pregnant and the twins struggle within her. And she says, if so, why is it that I am? And she goes to ask Hashem. Okay. Okay, what happens when there is a childlessness between this couple we just saw? Hirba vehifser betfila. What happens? They daven. How do we know, by the way, that Rivka daven? It's important for what we're about to learn. Because lenochach ishto, opposite his wife, zeh omid bezavis zo, this one, Yitzchak, stood in one corner, umispalel and daven, vizo omedes bezavis zo, and Rivka stood in the other corner, umispalelas and daven. So the couple does not have children, and they pray. What happens... We saw the psukim last week. When Sarah doesn't have a child, they're living in Canaan. Chapter 16, we saw last week. They're living in Canaan for 10 years. She doesn't have a child. What happens? Do we see any evidence of all that Sarah davened? No. Correct. No, you don't have to think. I mean, I shouldn't say it like that. No. Right. She was just roused to action. You can look it up. It's the beginning of chapter 16. We saw it in detail last week. 16, 1 through 4. They're living together for 10 years in Canaan. She says, you know, maybe take cover. Maybe I'll build through her. I'm not having children. So Sarah and Avram, there's no indication that Sarah davens for a child. If she did daven, it's not recorded. Yitzchak and Rivka, they both daven. What if Yaakov and Rachel? What does she do when she doesn't have a child?
She gives over Bilhah to Yaakov.
Okay. Vatei Rachel, chapter 30, verse 1. Rachel sees she's not giving birth for Yaakov. Fascinating. 31. You could turn to it if you want. I'm going to read the Pesukim. 30. Parak Lamed, Pasuk Aleph. Vatei Rachel, ki lo yaldo li Yaakov. Rachel sees she's not giving birth to Yaakov. Fact, I want you to see it before we go on. So Sarah does not daven, and if she does, we don't know about it. Yitzchak and Rivka clearly daven. The Torah says straight out. What about Rachel, the next foremother who is not able to conceive upon marriage? Is everyone with me? The next words are... Sarah says, you know, she realizes that this isn't working out. She says to her husband, take Hagar, ulai ibana mimena. She's roused to action. Yitzchak and Rivka roused to action vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Rachel, v'tekane Rachel ba'achosa. She's jealous. V'tomer el Yaakov. She approaches who? Her husband. Hava li banim vim ayin mesa anochi. Give me children, and if not, I'm dead. Vayichar af Yaakov berachal. Yaakov is angry. Vatomer, and he says, Hatachas Elokim anochi. I'm God. Am I instead of God? Asher manem imech pi bitnet baten. I'm holding back from you having a child. What are you looking at me for, right? Who should you be talking
to?
The Almighty.
She wants Yaakov to daven.
Maybe that's not what she says. She says, give me children. If not, I'm going to die. And she says, and then she says, here's Bilha, take her. And she's learning from who? Sarah Imenu. And Bilha conceives a child and births. So my father emailed me a Motzei Shabbos, and he just pointed out, what's the difference in these three reactions? So I said, I don't know. It was a very busy Shabbos. I said, I don't know. It was an email with two questions. I said, I don't know. And the next morning, I went back to Trash. I'm going to actually send him this because his insight into firearms, so he'll hear. I went back to Trash to find his email where he said, what's with the three different reactions? So what do we learn? Same situation, as same as a situation as a person can be, knowing people are different. The situation is what? The Nisayan was what? I'm not having children. It's childlessness. Mm-hmm. Sarah is roused to action, but we don't see that she... Davins. Yitzchak and Rivka stand in the corner of the room and Davin. And Rachel lashes out at Yaakov, and Yaakov becomes upset. Three different approaches, ladies, to Nisyonos. Here we go. The Torah, it's fantastic. I love this class. I'm so happy you came. Really, thank you. The Torah does not record Sarah Imenu Davin for a child. Perhaps this parallels those of us who find ourselves in a situation where there seems no hope for change. I'm going to use a very basic example because you all know, and we don't want to go into detail of a person's lives. My hearing loss, for example. I don't Davin to God to change my hearing loss. Because why? It's not happening. Okay, Sarah was 65, 75, 85, 88. She's not having a child. At a certain point, when your situation, you can't daven for the Yeshua because it's not coming, because it would be so lamalam in our time. Not that God can't do it, but realistically, at a certain point, what are you daven for instead? Minuchas HaNefesh, acceptance, clarity, resignation. Help me get through my Nisayon. I am roused to action. What should I do? I should go get hearing aids. I should ask somebody to repeat themselves. I hope that people have patience when they speak to me. I'm being serious. I'm using this as a parallel. You all know there are certain Nisayonos where we can hope for change. In those ones, we daven to God. Rivka was only 23 years old. There was a very big possibility that she could still bear a child, and therefore she daven to Hashem, because it wasn't, I'm putting impossible in quotes, because nothing is impossible for Hashem. But we all know that I'm going to reach 120 and still have a hearing loss. You understand? So Sarah said, this isn't what Hashem wants from me. I'm not going to daven to change what can't be changed. Do you understand? I'm not going to daven to change my hearing loss. I'm going to daven to be able to accept my Nisayon. Certain Nisyonos can't change. So then you don't daven, Lenochach Ishto Ki Akarahi, that would be futile tefillos. Instead we say, what does God want of me? Maybe God wants me to give Hagar to Avram. Maybe God wants me to get hearing aids. Why didn't she daven? Because there was no hope. Do you understand? I'm putting with a grain of salt. Now we can so understand her laughter. It wasn't Vatizchak Sarah Bekirba. She didn't think God couldn't do something. But if you told me tomorrow I'm not going to have a hearing loss, I would also laugh. Hashem could do it, but it's so lemala min hateva. I'm not even davening for it. Do you understand? Certain issues you don't daven for. You daven that Hashem should help you persevere through the struggle. But not that it should change, because it can't change, even though it could. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. That's Sarah. So of course she wasn't davening, I'm putting that in quotes. If she davened for anything, what do we ask for? Menuchas HaNefesh. Acceptance. Help me know what you, God, want me to do in this situation. Not ki akarahi, it's not going to work. It's not a lack of faith, therefore. Chas v'shalom, we're not saying Sarah Imenu lacked faith.
We're not saying Sarah didn't daven. You're saying she didn't daven about this.
Which I'm not saying. The Torah doesn't record it. If she did, it's not in the Torah.
Right.
And therefore, now we can understand there's a very puzzling Rashi. Look at 17:17, please. Yud Zayin, Yud Zayin. Very puzzling Rashi, but now we can understand it. 17:17, Bereishis. No. 1 second. Okay, the first Rashi on 17:17. Vayipa Avram upon a Vayitzchak. I'm about 10 words in. He's comparing the difference of laughter between when Avram laughed when he heard he's going to have a child and when Sarah laughed. And Sarah was more like a doubt. But look at the next words. It's a hard Rashi. Lamadata, you have learned. Sha'avram hehemin. Avram believed he would have a child. Visamach, and he rejoiced. Visara, look what Rashi says. Lo ha'amina. It's a hard Rashi. She did not believe. Sarah Imenu, who was higher than Avram in Nevuah, didn't believe she would have a child. But this helps us understand this Rashi. Of course she believed God could do whatever he wants, but she didn't believe at this stage in her life the teva of who she was she was barren. The teva of who I am is that I have a hearing loss. She didn't believe that would ever change. Not that God can't do it. He could certainly make up tomorrow morning, I could wake up and not have a hearing loss, but it's not going to happen. Do you understand? He loha amina. It's not she didn't believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is how he chose to put her in her life, and that wasn't going to change. That's Sarah's approach. It's an sign that can't change. I'm 88 years old. I'm not having a baby. However, when it comes to Yitzchak and Rivka, the couple's much younger. He's 60, he could still have a child. She's 23, certainly. But Darach HaTava, a 23-year-old, can still what? Have a child. And therefore, Vayatar Yitzchak Lenochach Ishto, he in one corner, she in one corner, Ki Akarai, and Hashem allowed himself to be entreated. Because when a Nisayan has hope for change, you see a point, so to speak, from the human point of Tefillah. Because you know God within Teva can still bring me a Yeshua. Okay? It didn't require a bizarre miracle. There was a glimmer of hope, something to daven for. Even if the doctor said to her, you're not going to have it, but she was 23. She technically could still have a baby. So she daven. Now, what about Yitzchak and Rivka, we just said? Oh, and that represents those through for whom through their nisayon they find God dafka in their pain. As we discussed last week, when the cords of death surround me, Tzara v'yagon emtza uveshem Hashem ekra. Tzara v'yagon emtza, they were married for 20 years, just like his father, and because he was on the Akedah, he could not take another wife like Avram and Yaakov. Avram took Hagar, Yaakov had four wives, Yitzchak was not allowed to be with another woman, so it was either with her, or that was the end of the Ummah Yisraelis, right? Tzar v'yagon emta uveshem Hashem ekra, says David HaMelech. When I find sorrow and pain, that's when I call to God. They were able to call to Hashem because technically, in nature, it was still possible. Because Rashi tells us on Bereishis, we're not linked together, 8:1 by Noach, you could look it up, by Yizkor Elokim es Noach, Elokim, judgment, remember, Noach, Rashi says, we learn from here that a tefillah of a tzaddik, it ties into our parasha very much, changes din to rachamim. So if the din was Rivka can't conceive, Rashi tells us Genesis 8:1. No, she could conceive. You know why? Because tefillah can change din to rachm. Because she's only 23, of course they're davening. There's hope. What about Rachel? Rachel Imenu declared to her husband, give me children, if not I'm dead. And he says to her, am I glad? Right? Look at my parents. They talk to who? God, what are you coming to me? What do you want me to do? You're having the problem, not me, right? He had kids. I'm not saying he said that. Although the Medrash says, no, Barina, the Medrash is not happy. The Medrash says Hashem was not happy, so to speak, with his reaction. I'm going to tell it to you. But what does Rachel represent? So we said there are those who daven for just acceptance. That's represented by Sarah. You don't hope I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning for hearing loss, because without hearing loss, it's not going to happen. So I daven different kinds of tefillos, but not for Yeshua, for this affliction, if you will. Whereas we have seen Yaakov and Yitzchak and Rivka, we've explained all the reasons why they still felt they could daven for. Coming to Rachel and Leah, and then there's the type of person in their nisayon who's perhaps in so much pain, which Rachel was, vayikana, she was jealous, she turns towards somebody else, someone who's very close to her. In their longing, in their pain, in their desperation, can you help me? Maybe you can help me. I'm in so much pain. Sometimes, you know, a person can't daven. Someone said this to me. We don't judge anybody. In the midst of very, very strong discernment, she says, I don't even feel like I can daven. I'm not judging anybody, Chas Shem, but sometimes you turn to someone else and say, maybe you could help me. Why did she say to Yaakov, Hava libanim, can you give me children? I'm going to die. Sometimes somebody else can provide assistance, support, salvation, relief, emotional,
I was just thinking that maybe at the end of the day, Yaakov had children. So like he wasn't being so sensitive to Rachel's needs.
So I told you, I'm going to tell you what the Medrash says. Yes, you want to say something?
Maybe just because of the Avos, what their strengths were, like Abraham was Chesed and Yitzchak was Gevura Levoda and Yaakov was Teferes, their wives parallel that because Sarah Imenu, she was chesed, so instead of davening, she just said, okay, here, take a woman. This is, I'm giving this to you, you will have children yes. through her. And Avodah was that is Avodah Shevelev is davening, so
right.
Rivka was about tefillah, and, you know, just davening straight, kavura, straight arrow, that was what Yitzchak was. But Rachel, Teferet's also about kind of like taking every modality possible. So even if she wasn't davening verbally, she was kind of davening by her actions of like just showing this like almost Yeush, like by asking Yaakov, do something.
Because okay, very nice. Very, very nice. Beautiful. Very nice. Okay, very nice. Thank you,
so
very nice.
See, with Chana, Chana turned to prayer. She also said to Elkanah, Havali Banim. And
right.
She said, why are you so upset? I'm better than 10 children.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes,
could I have the water, please, Sharon? Uh-huh. Very nice. Ladies, thank you. Thank you. All right. So in our Nisyonos, we can certainly relate this. Sometimes you turn to somebody else. Sometimes you don't want to talk to anybody except Hashem. Sometimes you do want to talk to somebody else. Maybe you can help me. And what happens? He gets angry at her. Keeping in mind what we learned last week about the emotions of the Avos and the Imahos, okay? But he gets angry at her. Vayichar af Yaakov b'Rachel. He gets angry at her. And you know what the Medrash says? And I told you, and I'm going to tell you what the Medrash says. Hashem said to him, Kach onim es hama'amukos. This is how you answer someone who's in pain. Okay? So what do we learn from here? When someone reaches out to us from their pain, you don't say, Chasram, you know, maybe you should daven harder. Maybe you should take on another mitzvah upon yourself. Maybe you should check them. Maybe they should. But Kach Onim Es HaMa'amukos, that's how you answer someone who's in pain. She's in pain. She's turning to you for help. What can you do for her? Empathy, understanding, and compassion. And we see here three different reactions to personal struggles. There's silence vis-a-vis God, which doesn't mean I don't have faith. We saw that, Rashi. It means I'm trying to accept my situation and work with it. Take Hagar. Maybe that's what God wants of me. You don't ever look at Hashem and say, Hashem, what do you want from me? So Hagar said, this is what Hashem wants of me. You know it can't change because I'm 88, because I have a hearing loss, because nature can't change. Therefore, I'm going to do something else. There's another, we pray to God for salvation because it can, within the realm of nature, change. So, Vayatar Yitzchak Menochach Ishto. And then finally, we cry out to fellow man to assist us. Now, what I want to end this insight with is as follows. There's overlap between the areas. At the same time that someone could be davening to Hashem, you can reach out to somebody else and say, can you help me? Okay, they don't exist, what? In a vacuum. But certainly here, the Torah is teaching us Derech Eretz and a lesson into human nature, feelings, and behavior. And again, what our foremothers went through, we go through. I wrote, may their strength and wisdom be our strength and our wisdom. I would like to end with one insight. I actually have 3 minutes. Okay. I know I had to get up to get Chumashim, but and also I was trying to prepare those other sources at the last minute this morning, so I'm sorry I wasn't so organized. I want to end with another. I like this because we don't usually talk about this part. There was a famine in the land, and Yaakov and his family go to live. They're on the way to Mitzrayim, and God says, don't go to Egypt. You're a korban. You're not allowed to have two wives. You're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Stay in the land of Plishtim. He stays in the land of Abimelech, the king of Plishtim, the land of Grar, the portion of Eretz Yisrael that's Grar. Why do I like this? Because we always talk about the beginning where they daven, and when he wakes up and he's a hunter, and the birthright soup, which is going to be on my website, and we talk about the end with the trickery. Well, guess what? Something happens in the middle. Okay, they're living in Grar. I told you I prepared this before, this morning. Quote, the white supremacist who murdered 3 people, during a killing spree at the Kansas Jewish Community Center, nearby Village Shalom Center on April 13, gave his first interview. F. Glenn Miller Jr., Yamach Shmo Vezichro, told of his exhilaration while carrying out his rampage and his surprise and regret that he didn't manage to kill any Jews. 73-year-old Miller said he decided to stage the attack. He became ill, he's 73, and he says, I thought I was going to die. I wanted to make damn sure I killed some Jews or attacked them before I died. He was proud of his actions. He was confident they had the desired effect. Because of what I did, Jews are less secure. Every Jew in the world knows my name. He was surprised to discover none of his victims were Jews, but he stood by his actions. Those who are accomplices with the Jews, who attend their meetings, who contribute to their fundraising efforts, who empower them, they are also my enemies. Miller said he chose April 13th because there were flyers publicizing an American Idol-style competition And according to the flyer, young Jews from all over the world would be participating. He had a pistol, two shotguns, a carbine rifle. He went to the JCC. I have never felt such exhilaration. Finally, he says, I had done something. He went to Village Shalom after the shooting at the JCC. He shot the woman. He gone down Lamano in the parking lot, and then a woman was right there, 15 feet from me. I had the shotgun pointed at her head from about 12 feet. I screamed at her, "Are you a Jew?" She said, "What?" By the second time she understood what I was asking, she screamed back, "No, I'm not a Jew." I let her live. During the famine in the land of Canaan, we meet Yitzchak and his family living in the land of Avimelech, king of Plishtim in Gerar. Yitzchak has been blessed by Hashem and he is prosperous. Turn to 26:13 very quickly. I'm going to keep you 2 minutes over. Please. 26:13. I love this. We don't look at the, we don't lay people. We don't know, like, what's with these psukim? Vayigdal ha'ish. Who does it, wait a minute, who else does that say that by? Moshe, in the book of Shmos. You know what happens? What happens? A Jew goes and settles somewhere. They become successful. They make something of themselves, right? Guess what? He was rich. What happens when the Jew moves into your land and he becomes rich? They're jealous. And you know what the Plishtim did, Pasuk Tesvav, if you remember, Avram Avinu dug wells. Well, guess what they did? They filled up his wells. Why? Because they filled them up. And what happens? Oh, Pasuk Tazayin. You know what Avimelech said to him? Get out. What did they say to the Jew? Get out. And Yitzchak went out. Rav Sham Shurfal Hirsch writes, Vayigdal Ha'ish, this is said from the viewpoint of the Plishtim. It's not the Torah telling you Vayigdal Ha'ish, the Plishtim saw. He became too great for them. They resented him. They envied him. Why did they envy him? Because of the position and honor he attained. Their envy was related to the man, not to his wealth. Immediately after Avram's death, they plugged up the wells out of pure maliciousness. Not for any reason, because why? They hated who? The house of Avraham Avinu. Quote, this jealousy sets into motion a train of events that marks a new phase in Jewish history. With Yitzchak begins the galus. It begins to be fulfilled. His serenity is marred by envy and hostile acts of jealousy, which will lead to complete servitude. We see here the prophetic stages of galus. Think again of Nazi Germany. First, it's hatred and jealousy, and it's Joseph Goebbels, Yimach Shemam, caricatures and propaganda machine. Then it's oppression and hostile acts, think Kristallnacht. And finally comes, as Rav Sham Shemfersh, complete servitude. And I'm going to end with this, and it's unbelievable. I wrote it as unsettling and startling to contemplate that the following words were written in the mid-1800s. You saw it says they were jealous of him. Jealousy kept him together, kicked him out, he had to move. Were it not for this kinna, this jealousy of the Plishtim, which forced Yitzchak into isolation, he might easily have become preoccupied with his wealth and the prominent position wealth affords, a preoccupation unworthy of the son of Avraham Avinu. The kinna may well have saved him from preoccupation with his wealth. One thing is certain. Are you listening? Yitzchak's emancipated modern-day descendants, he was talking about the Jews in Germany in the 1800s, who are progressing towards the stage where Yitzchak himself stood, which is what? Wealth, kina, hatred, get out. We have always been brought back to our essential selves by this repulsing kina. Rav Sham Shofar Hirsch says this deep kina of the Goyim for us is what brings us back to remember who we are. It is unsettling to contemplate those words were written prior to the Holocaust. As we prepare to usher in the month of Kislev, I mamish wrote this morning. It is a month of light amidst darkness. May we be worthy of revealed blessings for us and all of Klal Yisrael. Amen v'amen. Amen.